is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Second hour of the show getting going right now. You guys have been participating in many different ways. We appreciate you. Text lines fired up. Twitter with lots of responses and good stuff. Phone calls are coming in. So good stuff from you guys. Again, for some of the people early in the week were like, Jesus, guys, move on. You know what? The story's not going away, neither are we.
This is way too big to be a move-on story.
Yep.
This is not a, okay, guys, we get it, move on type of story. This is a, we could be talking about this through spring training. We're going to be talking about it all year type of story. It's just too big.
And I really believe Hinch is going to get another job. And I'll stand with what we both agreed to the other day, which is I think at the end of this year he'll have another job.
I'd agree.
I don't know that Alex Cora will.
Yeah, if you get popped twice and his suspension
and
might
just
be.
It seems like he was one of the masterminds that I don't know that any organization's willing to tarnish their image, whatever it was before, by making a hire like that.
Yep.
So you talk about the money you took out of your own pocket. Man. Mm. That's a lot of cake right there. So
really is.
We got football games to talk about, too.
Yeah, we do.
Some big ones coming up this weekend.
Man, big Niners game.
Okay. you got two teams to pick from. But
I do.
For your fandom
both of my
going
teams,
forward.
Yeah. Both of my teams that I would root for are in the championship games, their respective championship games.
Patrick Mahomes might be a relative of Garrett Cole because he talks like that too.
I was going to say that first. Like when you initially asked me to go back to the call, I thought he was going to say he sounds like Patrick Mahomes, but I think Garrett Cole is actually a better one.
That was a pretty good call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes is more,
Cody Stutz.
He's got a little bit more Muppet in him.
He does have some.
He has some Muppet in him. And he gets some gravel, but Mahomes is more, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, Tyreek Hill's a guy on the outside I like to throw to.
All right. Well, we'll talk about my first. Potential. If you guys missed it, by the way, on Monday, after the Texans debacle, which, by the way, can we just say that seems like a month ago?
Like exactly. It really, really does.
It really seems like a month ago. It was Sunday.
Because there are all the other stories that have deflected. Yeah. I feel like all the other stories that have deflected out of
Bill O'Brien's been out in public all week without a bit of scrutiny because people are so focused on the Astros.
Thanks to Dana Holgorsen and Derek King, stories like that.
The shows flew by all week, but it feels like that was literally 4 weeks ago that the Texans lost and got their ass whipped.
I agree.
But that said, we'll talk about that. So if you missed it, I am a fan free agent. I'm not rooting for the Texans as long as Bill O'Brien's the coach. I refuse to give them any more money or support. Not doing it. Not that I spent a lot of money on them anyways. But we talked about it earlier in the week, and I've narrowed it down to the Packers and the Chiefs are the teams that I will root for going into next season, just based on several factors. So that's where we're at. If you're caught up, if you missed it on Monday.
Yep.
Now, that said, you want to go Chiefs Titans first?
Yeah, we can. I mean, look, I think for Tennessee to have a legitimate shot to be in this game, it's all about ball control.
Yeah.
I just think that what they've been able to do in the first 2 weeks, Derrick Henry's got to continue to do. He's got to run the football effectively. He's got to be able to make the defense stay on the field for the Chiefs so that Patrick Mahomes can't utilize all the weapons that he has, which when you start talking about the weapons that he has, how can you possibly, if you're going to double team Tyreek Hill, and then you're like, okay, well, if I double team Tyreek Hill, well, then think about the other guys that are going to be open.
Yep.
And so,
well, the health of Travis Kelce is going to be important too.
And if you double team Kelce too, how many defenders can you have?
And is then, he, is he, I know he was questionable. Is he going to play? I and think how healthy just will he be? That.
You know he's going to play.
Well, he got a little banged
Kelsey?
Up.
Yeah. No, he's playing. Yeah. Reed said he would.
He got a little banged up in that last game, right?
Mecole Hardman. Can you imagine that? Like, Sammy Watkins is supposed to be your second receiver. When you talk about they're worried about speed, so they're going to double team Tyreek Hill. But if you put Tyreek Hill on one side and you put Hardman on the other side, and then you put Kelsey at tight end, you can't double team them all.
Not to mention, even an injury prone Sammy Watkins can be found.
Sure he can. And last week he can
have one or two or three great receptions that can be an absolute game changer. And so you can't count him out either.
So you're right.
Well, it's no secret, and you said it up top, but it's just no secret what the key to this game.
The formula.
The entire key to this game is, can the Titans run the ball on the Chiefs? Mm-hmm. And if they can and control the clock and keep all those weapons that you just mentioned off the field, the Titans have a legitimate shot at beating the Chiefs. And if the Titans can run on that Patriots defense, which is one of the best defenses in football all year, they absolutely could run on this Chiefs defense. A much improved Chiefs defense, a much improved front seven, a fully healthy, playing their best football defense that the Chiefs have. Give them credit where it's due.
And if you're the Titans too, you need to take advantage of the fact that if he is successful early on gaining yardage, Derrick Henry,
mm-hmm.
that you need to take advantage of that too. And when the Chiefs start loading the box a little bit more and worried about it, that's where you take your shots. That's where you try and hit him in the secondary.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's crazy when you look at the numbers, and I was looking on Pro Football Focus, they were giving grades, right, for all the different positions. Who was the highest graded? Who was the biggest surprise? Who was the highest graded rookie? Highest graded quarterback this year, Ryan Tannehill.
I told you, the man, biggest surprise, ever since he got the starting gig, he's been the hottest quarterback in football.
The biggest surprise of the NFL season, Ryan Tannehill.
Sure.
And so I don't think for a second that Mike Vrabel is nervous about having to have Ryan Tannehill throw a ball now and then. Mm-mm. To get a chunk play, to get to surprise the defense of the Chiefs.
But what I'm saying
he's confident in Ryan Tannehill right now.
You'd prefer to keep him out of third and long situations, sure, because you weren't effective running the football.
Sure.
But if you can start getting chunk plays out of your running game and then they start trying to adjust so that they can try and stop that, now you're in an advantage because now he can start throwing the football and pick them apart and probably be more effective that way.
Well, you know, last week you teased me a little bit because I said that the keys in those games, there was a couple different running backs that needed to hit 150. And what did Henry have?
163, I think. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
And so I think that's one of those things, especially for this team. Derrick Henry has to run for well over 100 yards. 100 yards isn't going to do it. Like, it's got to be that dominant that he's hitting 140, 150 yards on the ground, and it'll include some of those 20, 30-yard chunk plays that we're just talking about. That's a big – I mean, that is the key. You can talk about turnovers and this and that and the other. Listen, this whole game comes down to one thing. Can the Titans run the ball?
Sure, because you look at, and here's the other thing. When you talk about Tannehill overall, here's a guy that was heading into free agency that was going to be lucky to be a backup somewhere next year.
Yeah.
Because it was a disaster in Miami. They figured they were washing their hands of him just by unloading him on Tennessee. And you looked at it and said, well, even if he is a free agent, he's not going to get Teddy Bridgewater money. He's going to probably get some, hey, we'll get you a chance to prove it kind of deal. Now, he is going to probably get franchised by the Titans,
mm-hmm.
and make a monster deal.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably getting over 20. And he may be getting over 30. And that is unreal from a guy that was going to be out on the street looking for his next gig, yeah, trying to shake a can and get a team to be interested.
You know me, I'm a numbers guy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you two numbers that I think are going to be indicative of how this game could go. You think about what the Titans did to the Patriots. The Patriots were sixth in the NFL in rushing yards allowed per game. They gave up 95 yards a game. The Kansas City Chiefs were 26th in the NFL. They gave up 128 yards a game. There's a significant difference in run defense, mm-hmm. and how good that run defense is. And I will say that the Chiefs are playing better defense, but it could get ugly for them.
Yeah.
They had better load. If I'm the Chiefs, man, I rarely would I run anything nickel dime related. It would all be me loading up the box Beat me with your arm, Ryan Tannehill.
Here's the other thing.
Beat me with your arm.
I think Orlovsky made this point this morning, but it couldn't have been more spot on. They went back to the Texans game looking at the film. And they said the other thing that Tennessee has to do that the Texans definitely didn't do is stay in your lanes, know where you're supposed to be, and stop trying to be a hero.
Sure.
And they showed a key on J.J. Several times, J.J. was supposed to set the edge to make sure Mahomes couldn't run. And instead of setting the edge, he tried to get cute and spin inside where he was double-teamed, and suddenly the edge was wide open, and Mahomes was taking 15 yards at a time.
You know who was the worst at that on this team on the Texans? Merciless.
Yep.
How many times did I have to watch this dude bite on a fake handoff and just get beat around the
edge?
That's
where Vrabel, as a defensive-minded coach, has got to just harp on these guys all week. You got to stay on your lanes and set the edge. You cannot go inside because he's going to slash you with his legs.
But obviously that the key is that the Titans need to run the ball effectively and often. If I'm Kansas City, that's my goal. I'm going in and I'm saying, okay, beat me with your arm. Beat me with your arm.
Sure.
Obviously,
it's a Belichick philosophy. Take what they do best away from them and see if they can still beat you.
That's it.
So we'll see how that goes, but it should be. I just hope it's a good game. I mean, I hope both of them are
good
games.
I think it actually will be.
Because both of them right now with spreads are over a touchdown.
Yeah, seven and seven and a half.
And I hope they're not that big of a
The spread in the Chiefs-Titans game is 7 right now, and the over-under is 53, which I'm taking the under. I have the game, I have it 24-22 Chiefs.
You think it's that close?
I do. I'm taking the under, and I'm certainly taking the points in the Titans.
I think this is a blowout.
Do you?
I just think that Kansas. I think they better FedEx.
Sleeping on that Titans defense.
Better FedEx some more fireworks. I think this is one where I think it could get out of hand.
All right,
but we'll see. Weather's also going to be a factor.
True.
Because it's going to be harder to throw the ball if it's snowy and cold. Exactly. And then you can run the football.
Yep.
So that's something to keep in mind, too. All right, we'll continue to roll on. That was just one of the two games coming up this weekend. Lots more to talk about, including a big one on Saturday night between the Rockets and the Lakers. And other things. We got calls. We got texts. We got tweets. You guys, we appreciate you being suspects. We're going to get to you because we love you being a part of the show. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is how
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through hour number 2, 3 hours of show.
Rolling.
Big Limp Bizkit fan? How do you like your biscuits? You like them limp?
I don't know, but you said that you're very experienced in talking about dick, and you were going to do that again at 2:15.
Oh, yeah.
So let me remind you that before you mention Limp Bizkit.
You're right. I do need to mention Dick.
Yep.
Kendall.
Yep.
Rest in peace to Dick Kendall, my comedian of the week. He's 1953 is when he started doing comedy. Well known in the community. Well known nationally by several highly regarded comedians, including Billy Gardell, friend of the show.
Yes.
And he even toured with Billy a little bit. Got to do – it's so funny. I did a quick Dick Kendall story, quick Dick story for you. I did a show. I was asked to put together a show for a nursing home. Well, not even a nursing home. It was kind of nursing slash assisted living. And so my genius idea was I'm going to have to do it. So I got a couple other comedians to go with me. One of them was Andy Huggins, who was 68 at the time. And one of them was Dick Kendall, who was like 75 at the time. And I go on and I just eat it. Like, I mean, I go Marley on my pillow and crap the bed. Like, it was awful.
Oh.
It was all. And at one point, I'm like 5 minutes in. Yeah.
You can't say that, bro.
I didn't say it.
Okay. I'm like 5 minutes in, right? And I'm standing on stage and it's a bunch of old people. And it was like a luau or something like that. There was a theme.
I remember you telling us about it.
And I'm literally standing there and this lady goes, "This is not fun. Can we just go back to playing bingo?" And I'm like, "This is my career. This is what I'm doing. This is just kill me now." And then Andy goes up and I was surprised, but even Andy doesn't do that good. I guess he was too young for this crowd because literally, I think they're all 90. Then Dick goes up and just murders for like 30 minutes. And I was like, well, that's what you get. You know, you start comedy in 1953, you come up here, you're probably going to do pretty good.
The demo fits.
Yeah. So that was a little Dick Kindle story. Rest in peace, Dick.
Okay. Yep.
You're just eating that up, aren't you?
I'm not. I don't know what you're eating. I'm not talking about it. You are just eating that up. Old Dick was good even as an
rest in peace.
Old. Yeah.
Nope. Don't. Okay. Don't you disparage a dead man's name.
Before, maybe we can minimize the high traffic text messages and calls a little bit if we just take Hugo's call.
Let's do it.
Hugo wants to get in here. And so if you're not familiar with the show and you're not a suspect, you don't know this is probably going to be Titan-esque. But Hugo, what's up?
Yes.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I love the show all the time.
What up, Hugo?
Hey, can you hear me, guys?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I just wanted to talk about that. Have y'all got a chance to see the Netflix from Aaron Hernandez yet?
I did. I watched it a couple nights ago.
Man, that is one dramatic-ass dude. Wow, that was crazy. He had so many injuries he had so many concussions, CTE. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, it was fascinating. And I didn't keep up with the story that much, but I learned quite a bit from it.
Man, that is all I wanted to talk about to see if y'all guys had a chance to.
You're a liar. What's your prediction, Hugo? What you're a liar. That's not all you want to talk about. What's your prediction?
What was that again?
What's your prediction, Hugo?
No, that's all I want to talk about.
Okay, all right. Titan Hugo checking in on the phone. He also texted his prediction. Don't let him fool you. He said 24-16 Titans.
Anthony, of course he's picking Titans.
I don't want to hear that.
Anthony on Twitter, also a big Titans fan. Said he's mad at me for saying blowout. He's telling you the spread doesn't matter. Book it. Titans win outright.
Okay.
Charlie mentioned it would have been really ironic, though. Can you imagine the history of Houston football AFC championship game had the Texans won?
Yeah.
Texans, Titans in Houston for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. First time for both teams. No. First time would be first time for Houston, for the Texans.
Titans. But
still, that would be, you could cut it with a knife, all the different things going on with that one.
Yeah, indeed. Apparently, that wasn't Titan Hugo.
No, and I don't think it was.
And it sounded like him.
Yeah.
Did it not?
I thought it was him.
I did too.
Based on it, just seeing on the board.
So my bad, Titan Hugo, it sounded like you. That apparently wasn't him because he texted and goes, hell no, that ain't me.
Yeah, because usually he'll call in and he'll dub himself.
Yeah, it sounds like him, Hugo. But I'm telling you guys, this weekend, y'all need to, Hugo's right. Y'all need to watch that Aaron Hernandez.
I
watched the first hour. I was really worried he was gonna, spoil something for me. I haven't watched the second two episodes yet. It's absolutely insane.
It is fascinating because the thing is, and I don't want to ruin it for you, Nick, but what I learned from this, or what I gleaned from watching it is because we talked about it. We learned about it. I always thought he was much more gang-related than he really was, according to the documentary. He was more gang-affiliated and not even with, legit tough gangsters. Like more like wanksters, more like guys that wanted to be badasses but really weren't. And the reason he ended up associated with them is a fascinating story in and of itself, but it has to do with another gangster who was legit as a gangster that he was worried about. So that's when he started associating with these other cats that ended up doing the murder with him of Odin Lloyd. So it's a fascinating.
Yeah, I started trying.
I didn't know that. What's crazy is I've watched all three. I'm telling Nora. She goes, oh, yeah, I knew that. I knew. Like, she literally knew everything about it. And I knew none of that.
I'm like, well, I started trying to watch it last night, and I got sidetracked. But my plan is to watch. Lisa was interested in it, too, so I think we'll probably watch it. But I think the other thing that was amazing to me was he was engaged.
Yep.
But then you hear that he had a boyfriend, and then he had his cellmate, and then
they don't talk about the boyfriend, so he never had a boyfriend.
But I've seen the articles.
Yeah, well, and I'm just telling you, based on the documentary, he didn't have a boyfriend.
But did he not have a relationship in high school?
Yeah, he had a friend that they experimented, and his friend came out and said, "Look, I'm bisexual. Yes, I had sex with Aaron Hernandez, and he's a bisexual, or he had sex with a dude." But it never at any point in the three different episodes of the documentary did they say that Aaron Hernandez had a steady boyfriend or anything like that. They did address the accusations that while he was in jail.
A cellmate or whatever.
That he may have had a cellmate that was...
I think we're revealing way too much right now.
Why? Am I ruining it for you?
Yeah. Seen it?
I mean, bro, all this has already come out, though.
I would rather see it on the documentary, though.
But all this has already been in the news, so it's really not like a spoiler. Unless you were like me and just didn't pay attention to the news. Because a lot of it I didn't know. I was like, what? Because, you know, I just gleaned stuff. And like I said, I thought he was like a legit gangster. He really wasn't.
But at the same time, he still had no conscience. Because if you remember the stories aside from Odin Lloyd, he was associated then, they went back, and they associated him with another double murder.
Double murder.
And in the double murder, they said it was based on an episode in a bar where the guys bumped into him and spilled a drink or something.
They also addressed that.
Okay.
And you do know that he was acquitted of that double murder, right?
Wasn't he acquitted after he was dead?
No. That was the Odin Lloyd murder. He was acquitted of the double murder shooting, and you'll see why, and it's amazing. Okay. It's I didn't know that for sure. I was like, what? It's crazy. The guy that was his lawyer that got him off was Casey Anthony's lawyer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so he got acquitted of those two. He was found not guilty of those two murders, and then once he hung himself, there was that old antiquated law in Massachusetts that says if you are in a trial or you're in an appeal and you pass, then they make it go away, which means the Patriots would have had to pay out his family. So he was in the appeals process when he hung himself. They went back. Some people went back to the Massachusetts legislature, who then said, you know what, that law is too antiquated. His sentence sticks. So he was found guilty. The Patriots didn't have to pay. Pretty crazy. And all that again.
That goes back to how you say how lawmakers are also sports fans.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Robert Kraft knows people, bro. Hey,
does he at massage parlors? all right, that's the first half of the show. Still second half to go. Coming up next, we got plenty more going on. People still going to probably want to talk about the playoffs. We got the other game that's in the NFC that we can talk about a little bit
UFC
as well.
UFC, too. We didn't do our predictions,
UFC for you guys to talk about and break down even further. So lots to get to in the second half of the show. Stay right where you are. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Keep it going, full steam.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an FEF Friday. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We are in the studio, and we're taking it till 4. Blitz is going to take you till 7 as we have been running the gamut, covering a whole lot of ground today on a whole lot of topics, trying to stay up to speed as quickly as possible with calls and tweets and texts and everybody participating, but it's been good. So we appreciate you guys.
A couple texts before we get any further. Hey, guys, just wanted to say how much I enjoy the show. Blitzer from day one, and you guys have turned me into a six-hour ESPN listener. Well, thank you, Eric.
Yeah, thank you, Eric.
Appreciated, sir. Also got this text. My buddy Nick, no relation to our Nicholas. My buddy Nick is listening to you guys for the first time. He's a 6'10 guy. And he's upset that you guys said JJ didn't do his job. Well, guess what, Nick? Welcome to Tell the Truth Radio. You are no longer going to be fed a load of crap. You're going to get the truth over here, buddy. And sometimes it hurts. And as a fellow Texans fan, it pains me to say something.
Well, you're not anymore. Let me correct
you. Oh, yeah, that's true. As a former Texans fan, as of Monday, it pains me to be honest with you about that team, but we're just going to keep it real. Yeah, it's going to happen.
They threw in the 6'10 part like we care.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Right. We'll get them an easy tag and stay off the loop. Because here's the thing. Well, if you want honesty, you come over here.
Yeah.
If you want
smoke blown up your butt,
if you want you twang don't. and a lot of Kool-Aid drinking Texans fans, you go over there.
Some quality milk.
Yeah. Does the body good and your ears when you're listening to it for a long time. So, nice. Yeah. 6'10", we've already told you. It's always a nightmare, so just stay off of it.
It is,
full of traffic. Whether you're talking about the loop or...
I see what you did there. Yeah. Okay,
so Tanner wants to get in here on... We talked about yesterday again, the OBJ thing, but Tanner, what's up?
Hey, guys, how are you? First off, I want to tell you your show's great. I travel a lot, listen to you, keep me really entertained, and I get a good bit of chuckling in as well, so thumbs up there. But wanted to ask you about OBJ, and you said you're dishing out honesty. So in your honest opinion, not only was a warrant issued, but do you feel that he should be arrested after the butt-smacking that he gave the security guard there in the locker room?
Appreciate the call, Tanner, and thank you for the kind words.
Thank you very much.
You want me to go first?
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think he should be arrested.
I don't.
If that guy wanted him arrested, okay, I got on to Jose Grignon from Fox 26 for the same thing. Because the first thing he tweeted this morning was, come on, guys, shouldn't we be focused on arresting real criminals? And I'll ask you, just like I asked Jose, would you say that if that was a female security guard that he did it to? It shouldn't matter that it's a dude. You can't go around slapping people on the ass thinking it's funny. There are consequences and repercussions.
I don't know if I wouldn't have arrested him, but
I mean, but if that security guard,
that's a law.
But here's the thing too: if it was a female, then you'd have to address how she was hit. Was it sexual in nature?
It's on the butt. It doesn't matter. You touched her ass.
And from a guy. And again, there's so many things, layers to unfold here. It's a locker room. I've told you guys this. We've talked about this. A lot of things happen in the locker room. They're not going to be PC. They're not going to be HR friendly. And so you factor that in. But I will say this. What I don't like about the whole situation is OBJ made the whole night about him, from passing out the money.
He was either drunk or on something.
No, because let me get to that. Because from passing out the money to what he did to the security guard to the fact that he got the bullhorn that the conductor of the band uses and just they try to and they said he must have been drinking or doing something. And go ahead, have a good time.
Well, you're leaving one out. You're leaving one out. Did you not see him try to body up Karl Malone?
I saw that too, yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to post up Karl Malone on the field. And you can tell Malone's like, bro, why are you bumping me so hard? What is wrong with you?
The New Orleans Police Department came back and said there's a warrant out for that too. Now that's different.
To me, that's different. But you slapped a man on the ass.
The other thing that I found fishy this, though, is the fact that the guy was a security guy working for the Dome in the locker room. Then the New Orleans Police Department filed the charge. And basically, I'm with you, Nick. I mean, there's a lot more legitimate crimes that are punishable by arrest and all this other stuff. And so with that being said, if the security guy had a problem, he probably should have told someone right away. And regardless, if you were going to put charges on a dude, go do it that night. Don't do it like this. I guess if you want to be like OBJ, you want the attention part of it too. So now you're going to make it a big deal and news story and out on Twitter and everything like that. But for that nature of that crime, the way we saw it and we had it on video, you have to address it. But I don't think it was a big enough deal to put a warrant out and say that he needs to be arrested.
Okay. Nick?
I mean, I don't know that guy. I don't know what's going through his mind. But from what I saw on the video, it didn't seem like he was traumatized from the situation. He looked like he was angry from the situation, you know? And so I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm not a gay dude, but if you're a buddy of mine, like, I ain't going to lie. Like, I have friends that they might have just done that just to be stupid. If you're a dude that I don't know, I'd be like, what are you doing? If he kept doing it, then I'd be like, okay, you might need to be handled. But if he did it once and I don't know the guy, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm probably not going to call the police or do anything. That's just me, though.
So two things. One, I think that the reason he pressed charges was that he was embarrassed
by the video
and in front of all those people. He's in a position of authority. He's in there trying to get a player to stop smoking a cigar, apparently, in the locker room, which was against the rules of the stadium. Mm-hmm. So he's like trying to enforce that. And while in the midst of trying to enforce that, OBJ behind him slaps him on the ass, embarrasses him, makes him look bad, downgrades his authority as a security guard trying to do his job. And so I understand why the guy would act like that. But I'm going to go back to my original question. If this was a woman, would you guys feel differently? Would you guys think that filing charges was okay?
If she felt bothered, yeah.
Violated. If she felt violated,
why can't he feel like that? But because he's a guy? We got to stop with some of that macho stuff.
If he felt like that and he's in the locker room, by the time he hits the doors of the locker room, there's plenty of cops around. But he should be grabbing somebody.
It doesn't matter. If a female waited 24 to 48 hours, would you question it?
Well, I mean, again, in every case, there's evidence.
But would you question it if a female waited 48 hours to press charges because it happened? There's video. If she waited 48 hours, would you question it?
No, because females usually, it's harder for them to come out than a guy.
Really? You think so?
Yeah.
In this case, I think it would be harder to be a man in that situation than a woman.
Exactly. That puts a hole in your argument because you said, you know why he might have pressed charges? Because he was embarrassed. So you press charges. That brings more light to the situation. That shows that it makes you look even more embarrassed.
He was demasculated in front of everybody and the internet.
I would put that up revenge. Under the rug. I wouldn't.
I would
report it to the police.
It went viral. I mean, it was out there. Yeah, it was already out there. You demasculated me. You tried to make a fool of me, and you touched my butt.
So you double up after it goes viral, and then you report.
It's too late. You can't unring the bell. Why not? How about now there's a repercussion for what you did?
I think you made yourself look. You brought more light to something you don't want to bring more light to. That's exactly what that guy did. If he's the one that filed charges,
I mean,
you brought light to something you were
viral,
embarrassed about.
How?
That makes no sense to me.
If it was out
it
there
wasn't
and then already,
sexual. It wasn't sexual.
Doesn't
for one.
Matter if it happened to a it woman. Was,
I get
how
what
would
you're
you
saying,
feel?
Barry. But what I'm saying too is the fact that when you're addressing it in the middle of the locker room, and I don't know what the policies are with the dome and how they do what they do, but obviously, yeah. You know, you're going to feel a little egg on your face because of the fact that it was in front of players and then you found out it was on the internet. But at the same time, it wasn't like you suffered like bruises and a broken bone or anything like that. He even had a goofy look on his face like he was trying to kind of play with him. So I just think that you're making a way bigger deal out of it than it had to be. Should it have been handled? Sure. Should it be addressed? Sure. But I don't think it has to be to the magnitude of saying there's a warrant out for his arrest and you know, putting it all out there like that.
I don't know. I mean, he disrespected him. He violated him. I don't have a problem with it because I think at some point, as a society and even as men, we have to stop trying to have that macho attitude where like, you know, boys will be boys. Bro, you can't go around slapping people on the ass, man or woman. You can't. That's a
It's been going on for. Look, I'm not saying if it was a male on female or female on male.
Bro, you sound like Trump right now.
No, I'm not. And I'm not trying to. And first of all, please don't make this political. And second of all, I'm not saying.
But I'm saying, you know, Trump is like, well, that's just locker room talk. We have to stop that.
I'm saying if it was done with like a malicious intent.
It was.
It was not. He was clowning around.
He was trying to disrespect that dude and undermine his authority. You think he would. Bro, it is clearly obvious.
It wasn't sexual, and it wasn't blatantly trying to hurt the guy.
Okay, if it wasn't sexual.
You just asked my opinion, I'm just telling you.
No, I get it. But I'm saying, even if it wasn't sexual, I feel like that it's skewed because of his gender.
Okay, that's your opinion.
You don't think, if that was a female.
I said that. You asked it three times, and I've answered it the same way every time. Yes, I think it would be different, but also I think that she would probably have said something to the fact that it wasn't just embarrassment, it was that she felt legitimately sexually violated, as opposed to guys in the locker room that do it and slap people.
Now, I don't know this to be true, but somebody texted and said, OBJ hits him in the face with a piece of paper first.
Never saw that.
Then turns to a guy and says, watch before he ever slaps him on his ass. It was disrespectful to a grown-ass man. I agree. And my personal opinion on it, my personal take on it, isn't just the charges and the man versus woman. My bigger point at the macro level is, at some point, we've got to kind of get past that macho, boys will be boys, it was just the locker room type thing, because it goes back to that hazing at Penn State. It's the same thing. Dudes are putting their junk in other dudes' faces. That's just frat daddies in football. Boys will be boys. No, you can't do that to a person, man or woman. There are consequences for that.
Nick, when you're tweeting out your... Are you going to tweet out the fact that you're pressing charges? Just ask
me
a question.
I should.
I mean, he humped me first. I got to get the
video from Lauren Pope.
In my defense, he humped me first.
Hey, I hugged you.
You hugged you. It
humped
me.
It doesn't matter how many days you take,
I told
Nick.
You, we go together now, bro.
It doesn't matter how many days you take,
I swear to God, if you don't give me anything for Valentine's, we are done. If you don't give me anything for Valentine's, I'm so breaking up with you.
Nick, you take your time and think it over, because there's no time limitations.
Just hump me again. Come on.
Go to break, Joel.
I've been trying. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and this is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolled around number 2, 3-hour show, usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. As we roll into the weekend.
It's a good discussion because I feel like it's split.
I think you're right.
The discussion that we had last segment, for those who are just tuning in, whether or not Odell Beckham Jr. should be arrested for that security guard incident at the LSU inside the LSU locker room.
Like Scott in Deer Park said, Barry, somebody slapped your butt and embarrassed you. I get it, but it doesn't bother everyone. Fine, but it bothered that guy. So who are you to tell him it's not okay to pursue anything?
We have a guy who says he's a police officer.
Okay.
So this would be our second
cop call this week.
His name is Jeremy.
Doesn't have to pull anybody over while he's on hold.
Well, I want to ask this, and this is not me questioning you, Jeremy, but how do we, I mean, because this is the second time this week that a police officer or someone claimed that they're a cop called in. How do we confirm that you're actually a police officer?
Well, I'm a constable's deputy for Polk County.
Nice.
You have to take my word for it.
Well, thank you for your service, first of all, Jeremy.
Thank you. Been doing this for 12 years.
Okay.
I've nice. Listened to you guys talk about Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
I'd have turned around and arrested him right then and right there.
Yeah.
No questions. You don't put your hands on me when I'm in that uniform and I'm responding to a call. You guys need to understand that. He disrespected the office.
Yep.
He disrespected the badge. And he disrespected everything that man was trying to do. It's not sexual. It's not about being embarrassed. It's not about anything. It's about an entitlement-minded little punk who put his hands on a police officer while he was trying to do his job. That's it.
But wait a minute, wait, Jeremy, and I hear what you're saying, but he wasn't a police officer.
He was a security guard.
To be specifically clear, he worked for the Dome as a security guy.
It doesn't matter.
He was there in a position of authority.
Badge. He still had a position of authority.
Yeah.
The only reason I wouldn't have arrested him right then would have been because I didn't see him physically put his hands on me. But after the video came out and I saw who it was, then I would go back, file my arrest warrant, file my paperwork, and go pick him up. Because then you know who did it. But, man, it fires me up because you don't put your hands on somebody in a uniform with a badge doing their job, period. There's no excuse for it. None.
Amen, Jeremy.
It's a fair point.
Yeah.
I mean, he adds perspective for sure.
Sure he
definitely
does,
sounds
it,
like a constable.
Yeah.
But I mean,
and look, you can tell it bothered him. And here's why, I think. Because Jeremy is in a position of authority.
Correct.
And could see himself in that position, and he knows how he would react. And I think any sane person that was trying to do their job and got disrespected in such a manner would probably react the same way. And I love his point. I didn't even think about that, but I guess that's the difference between us and a cop with training.
He didn't know who hit him.
Is he couldn't
but I don't
turn
like
around
that.
And slap cuffs on him because you got to wait until you have evidence. Because it could have been 15 people that were behind you.
But I
so
didn't.
I like that point. I think that's a valid point about why he
waited. I think
that was
the best point of his call.
Yeah, but right, because he shed light on a lot of different aspects. What I didn't like was he said he waited until he turned around to see who it was. Then he would have slapped the cuffs on that punk. You can't use anything that you've drawn conclusions about OBJ in the past, to make that arrest, though.
But it doesn't matter. He was acting like a punk by doing that. That's the point. He was acting like a punk and an ass.
I mean, Jeremy does sound like that. He does sound like. He may not like OBJ, whatever, but regardless of OBJ had a history or not, I think he still would have approached the situation the same. I think Jeremy, even if OBJ didn't have this history.
Dude, that could have been Larry Fitzgerald,
well,
and I would feel the same way.
The severity of the arrest and the assault, because again, you don't put a warrant out for a guy's arrest. You just say, hey, that's whatever it is, misdemeanor assault. There's a fine associated with whatever it is. But I just, okay, I'm sorry. I've got my opinions on it,
too,
and I appreciate Jeremy calling.
Just a locker room bully.
Jeremy was obviously is with Barry. Lauren Pope is on Barry's side. I mean, you know, it just.
Scott Deer Park is not.
Yeah.
We got more calls on OBJ. What do you want to do, Nick at the top?
Sure.
Yeah, Nick wants to talk OBJ. Nick, what's up?
Hey, just wanted to kind of expand on what Jeremy was saying. Barry, I 100% agree with you. I hate to admit it, man. I love y'all so, but a lot of times I don't like to agree with Barry, but he's 100% right. I mean, not only that, it may not be prudent for the officer to make the arrest right then and there. Sometimes in that scenario, you're in a locker room full of people celebrating, drinking. Sometimes instead of making the arrest right then and there, you need to back up and say, you know what? I know who did it. I'll file a warrant on him later. That way you don't cause a bigger scene. Just imagine if he would have gone over
there.
That's
a fair point, Nick.
Tried to arrest him right then and there. OBJ starts acting up.
Yep.
Gets his football buddies surrounding him.
But on the flip side, I mean, don't you have to worry about the fact that you need witnesses? And how many of those guys would stand up and say they were witnesses to testify against OBJ?
Video.
You don't need witnesses. At the time, you don't know you got video. What he's saying is he's taking himself out of the situation because it could be volatile.
True.
But you also still have to verify that you have proof.
Yeah. Well,
there's no way there was no video in there.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, every locker room. This is a national championship game. There's video.
That's right.
There's video.
That's how we know Josh Reddick was using confetti.
It does make me think a little bit because there's two things that he brought to the table. Number one, he wasn't sure who hit him. He was able to go back to confirm who hit him by looking at the video, you know. And I think the second thing is, and I really do mean this, if that happened to me and it was only once, I probably wouldn't press charges.
I'm with
but
you.
Someone else may not feel that way, and if they feel violated or hurt, then go ahead.
Fair point that every individual has their own feelings.
Yeah. I would. If it was just once, if the guy kept doing it, I'm like, all right, bro, what's the deal here? Like, why do you keep hitting me on my ass? Like, what's the deal? But if it was just once, I might exchange some words with him and then I would move on.
I feel like, and this is just a complete, you know, assumption on my part, but I feel like what triggered this guy more than anything was the disrespect to his purpose and authority in that locker room. Had it not been something like that, then it may not have been. I think his attitude might have been more like what you're saying. But I think the fact that he felt so disrespected and probably violated and made a fool in front of all of those other men in that locker room, that probably all combined triggered
him. I think this is what you're saying, but it wasn't the fact that the slap on the rear end is what he felt embarrassed and violated. But they were already disrespecting him because you could see that they were trying to say it was about a Gatorade bottle when it was about a cigar. And everybody was
laughing at him. They were mocking him, basically. That's right. He's just there to do his job. He's got a bunch of football players that no one is going to hold accountable in that locker room for smoking a cigar. And he is literally only there to do his job. I would feel like that.
I just thought of something, Nick. I need you to make sure you've put yourself out there now. You're vulnerable. Ben DuBose is going to walk up to you in the locker room. He gets one shot and one shot only because he can slap you on the ass once.
But I can probably take Ben DuBose. He's not that much bigger.
Right, but you're saying the first time they do it, you're going to go, bro, what are you doing? But you're not going to press charges. It's the second time. So you might be opening yourself up a little bit.
Get him. Hey, let's take Jeremiah's call. He's been waiting for a while. Jeremiah wants to talk OBJ. Jeremiah, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys? Y'all doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Good, man.
Man, I wanted to start off by saying I love y'all's show. Love what y'all do and what y'all talk about. Driving all the time, man, it just makes it a little bit easier to pass the time.
Appreciate that.
Appreciate it.
The second part is, I'm not OBJ, but the same thing that he did, I was a student athlete and did the same thing to a guy that was in the band, and he actually turned me in and reported me for sexual harassment and bullying, and I didn't know until the day I went back in class and I was removed by officers who pulled me in and started approaching me about it. So I was, for one, being a jerk. It was a jerk move, but it turns into something extremely serious. I said good game in a joking manner in front of the rest of the players. Everybody was laughing, cutting up, and I didn't think nothing of it. But once I got pulled out of the class and had to actually sit down and in front of the officers, it was kind of like a crap. How can it be sexual harassment towards a dude? And I even explained to them, the coaches do it all the time towards us. How is that any different? And they hit me with the consent. When you play sports, you open yourself up to consent for that to happen. And for somebody that doesn't play sports, they can file sexual harassment and claim it as bullying as well. So it kind of double whammy on me there. I know that's different from what he did with a security guard and everything else, but that's just my backstory on it. The rest of the callers had very good points, especially the officer. But it is something that can happen, whether it's male or female. They did not care. It's the discretion of the person and how they feel about it.
Appreciate the call, Jeremiah.
Interesting. Very insightful call.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I find it interesting, and I kind of disagree, too, with the fact that, you signed up for that if you played sports.
Like there's consent? There's automatic consent?
Look, the difference to me is that when a coach is doing it, a lot of times they're like, hey, good game or whatever, that I just like, whenever I played football, for as long as I played sports, that was just one of those things, right? You did it to your teammate. You pat him on the butt.
Sure.
Your coach will pat you on the butt. Hey, good job, Laminack. Pat you on the butt, pat you on the helmet, whatever. The difference between the two is my coach wasn't trying to disrespect me and make a fool of me. Now, would they grab me by my face mask and shake me? Oh, yeah. That happened plenty of times. Cool. But I knew that that was part of football, but that doesn't mean that excluded them from me taking it a step further. The difference in this case is OBJ was trying to disrespect and humiliate this man. That's exactly what he was trying to do.
It's all exacerbated by the fact that there's cameras everywhere, social media everywhere now. Media is 150,000 times more intense than it was when you were being recruited in your high school days.
And I also think the other thing that you're talking about, there were plenty of times
that guys thought it was funny. Whether you made a good play or not, they come back to the locker room, they take a run and start, and they whack you in the rear end.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, you got me. Yeah. All right, yeah.
No,
but it's a different day and age now, too.
I'm with that. But then, you know, the difference to me is, you know, and I had plenty of friends on the team, and we would do that. You know, take the towel. Somebody comes walking by you.
Too, yeah.
Pop them on the back or the ass or whatever. Just clowning around, and we were buddies. The difference was I wasn't trying to disrespect them and humiliate them. I'm just messing around with my friends. And I think that, to me, that's part of what the big difference is between the two.
Yeah, so. They didn't know him before that. Too,
right, so, yeah. Good point. Hey, look, playoffs this weekend. And if you want to make the NFL playoffs really interesting, here's what you do. You go to mybookie.ag and place your bet. Have some fun with the games. Don't just watch the games. Get into the games. Have some fun with them. MyBookie is one of the most trusted places in the industry to get action on games. And you can bet on more than just football, by the way. They got NBA, Premier League, college hoops, even the UFC. Got a big card this weekend. They have all of that and more. And plus, they've got in-game betting. So, you know, maybe you missed the kickoff and you didn't get your bet in, or maybe you just are feeling confident and you want to even bet more at halftime. You can absolutely do that with MyBookie. Parlays, teasers, they have it all. Fast payouts, great promotions. Plus, they've got great 24/7 customer service. All of it right there at MyBookie.ag. MyBookie has more lines and better odds for the players than any other sports book around, I'm telling you. And if you go join right now, they will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. So that means if you put in $2,000, you'll get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. It's absolutely amazing. All you got to do to take advantage of it is use promo code radio to activate that offer. That's promo code radio to get your extra cash from mybookie.ag. Go sign up right now before it's too late. Mybookie.ag. You bet, you win, you get paid at mybookie.